problems associated with them go away. Kathy and I do not experience the things that you hear so many patriots and militia people talk about. They're doing this harassment and that harassment. Because I'll tell you why. If they do it to us, we're not going to tell you about it. We don't consider that a badge of courage. We consider it a way to deter other people from stepping forward and doing so. Quite honestly, I told them two or three years ago, I told a fellow that I supposed to be trusted. I feel safe enough in telling this story now. That all the things they were doing to us at that time, all it did was agitate the living hell out of me, but didn't scare me. If they got real quiet and left me alone, that scared the crap out of me. I haven't had trouble in 2 years. So the little psychological warfare tool I turned around on them, it worked real well. But the number one thing we have to understand is that this is a negative group. They feed off of negativity, and they absolutely flourish on fear. And they control this planet through fear and manipulation. Once you learn that this is their absolute manna, then just cut their food supply off. They'll go somewhere else. They'll leave you alone. And if you do have a problem with them, just keep on keeping on. Don't talk about it. It's not a badge of courage. All it does is discourage and hurt other people. That's one of the reasons that I found such tremendous companionship in the thousands of contact people that Kathy and I have been honored to meet. Brent, if you had a quarter for every person that reached contact, y'all's dreams could come true. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. The readership of this newspaper is the most incredible thing, and it discourages me. And I've stood up, it's been said, a couple hundred times on camera, that if people would just buy the darn paper and quit borrowing it. Now, they can pass our book around until they wear it out. That's fine. But we're not a newspaper, we're just an army of two. But if people buy contact, then I think we could have a whole lot better informed society. But we really appreciate this honor and this opportunity to be here today. We thank you. That's it.
And we certain. We certainly do thank everyone, and I wanted to add a big thank you from Kelly. She has a great deal of difficulty in being able to focus and write everybody back in the time frame that she wants to. And once that little time frame's passed, she tends to forget to get right back to it. But she hasn't forgotten the love and the fact that people have been writing. The letters, because she's not capable of writing back at times, has kind of trickled off a little bit. And I encourage each of you, please do continue writing her, because it's making an enormous difference for her. The love that she's feeling from what she refers to as her contacts has given her a foundation for healing in the future, because love is the greatest healer of all. And I want to thank all of you very much, from just the depths of my soul, for reaching out to her with the love and the understanding and the compassion that you have, because it makes an enormous difference for her. Love is certainly an enormous healing factor for everyone. I also wanted to make one quick comment on the fear factor. I certainly don't operate out of fear, and I don't operate out of love. I do believe that those negative energies do fuel these people. I have been told by some well-intentioned, so-called spiritually minded people that I should love George Bush for what he's done to Kelly. I can't find any cause to love him. For one, if I loved him, he wouldn't feel it anyway. That's not his energy level. That's not where he's at. He feels the negative energies. But more importantly, I love humanity. And I act out of a capacity of love in everything that I'm doing. Mark and I, our love for each other is absolutely profound. The love factor in healing was significant. The love is an enormous strength now to continue on. But the love that I have for humanity as a whole is enough motivation, and certainly is an enormous outpouring of love that should be bringing these guys down in a much more applicable and effective way than to, you know, say that I love George Bush, because that's not the case.
Somebody take this tape and do a bad clip on you. You better talk to this man.
What?
The love George Bush.
I love George Bush. Kathy.
We listen to the tapes whenever we get home. As many hours I spend, a lot of times writing and working at my desk, I listen to the tapes of y'all's meetings. And I chuckle and laugh along with you. Of course, read the papers. I used to be able to read them from cover to cover until we started on this book tour. I don't have that luxury anymore, so I just either take them with me or review them when I have a chance. But it doesn't mean that this isn't entirely different, being here with you all versus sitting and listening on a tape. We do appreciate this contact, though, pardon the pun, of having the tapes and the newspapers. But, I have some questions I'd like to pose to Commander later when it's convenient. I'll hush now. I've got some things that are really pressing me.
Well, I've got to take it back just one more time, because that little thing. That is a good example of how the truth can be distorted and taken out of context and put in a totally different light, or lack of light. And we need to bear this in mind as we're seeing the smoke and mirrors illusions on the so-called free press and actually through the controlled media, because instead of basing our discernment of truth on what we hear, we need to pay attention to what people do. Look at their actions rather than just listening to what they say. And that certainly helps sort truth out.
Now?
Pie?
Now we can take a break.
Just round it off. Pie. Any new visitor, that I will answer you directly. If it's feasible to answer, if it's all right to answer, I will answer. There are so many things about your world. Ones will come to me, for instance, and say, well, there is this channeler, Alcyon, or whatever. What do you think of him? I don't. Please understand that this is not insulting anybody. This is strictly that I find it so trivial in my own mission or in what we are trying to accomplish that I pay no attention to it. If you want me to go and spend my time researching some channel in North Dakota rather than get our work done, I suppose I could do that. I won't do it. So there are many things about your world that I am truly so disinterested in that I just don't know. I have no interest in it, so I don't know. And I don't like ones assuming that I know what they are thinking, because I find that rude to everyone else. There can be a private conversation without revealing everything that you know, but I don't see any reason for not just discussing something, unless it is a one-to-one private conversation. So I will always answer you one way or the other. Sometimes it just is not wise. And in listening to Kathy, who is young on this world, old in soul, don't you wonder how in the world one could gain such wisdom out of such a past? Well, this is what it's about. And so I'll be happy to entertain any questions you have. So go eat. It's an order.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's down to a dull roar, Commander, so maybe we could begin.
We're going to start.
You can chew.
All of you who now need a bath towel. We'll try not to keep everybody really late. My impulse is to say, well, it's too late now. We better go. Questions.
Oh, no. No, we want to hear Mark's question.
We're just warming up.
We caught him with his mouth.
Well, too bad. His time is up.
Now he's got to put a microphone in it.
Well, you see, what he's going to do is ask me what he saw.
Can I ask? Commander, folks, Kathy and I have to maintain an incredible line of credibility because of the incredibleness of the subject matter that she and I talk about. Instead of getting people to relate to something in their life that can add credibility to believing what we're talking about in terms of this abuse system that involves some of our world leaders, we wind up dissociating them from the information because they find it too incredible because it has not been a part of their experience personally. Thank God it hasn't been. But unfortunately for many, it has been, and Kathy O'Brien and her daughter are good examples. What I'm getting to is I have not had an experience with any sort of spacecraft. I have seen I've seen pieces of what was supposed to have been, and I've seen metallurgical reports of what was supposed to have been a downed spacecraft. Whether or not it was or not, I don't know, just saw a little bitty piece. And I saw some metallurgical reports, and I talked to a scientist that, this man's credibility with me is 100%. He had no reason to tell me anything other than what he told me, and he said it wasn't even of this solar system. Well, that was a long time ago, and that impressed me a lot because when, as a small boy, I'd seen some lights in the sky, and my father told me that those were supposed to be UFOs. To me, they looked like little lights that just danced around. In Alaska, I was vice president of an airline up there, and we were flying flights to the North Slope for Arco Oil Company, flying drilling mud and blasting materials and this sort of thing on L-188 Electras. And I would take some of those flights, and every once in a while I'd see some very peculiar things. An engineer aboard one of the flights assured me that what I was looking at were UFOs. And the way they reacted and the proximity that they came, I still couldn't make out any detail on them, but there was nothing else at the top of the world in the middle of December that could fly like that. I'm an aviator. I came out of the aviation industry, been a pilot since I was 16. I've never seen anything like it before in my life, but still unconvinced that it was anything other than U.S. government stuff. Well, when we embarked... when Kathy and I embarked on this trip, the reason I'm giving you this history is because I want you to know where I'm coming from. When Kathy and I embarked on this this tour with David Icke, our first stop was Atlanta, Georgia, and we were going to leave there, and which we did, and we took David up to see Kelly and had an evening dinner with her, and it was most pleasurable. But on the way to Atlanta, Kathy and I drove, and it was quite late. I was having some serious problems with my old car. But nevertheless, we were on the road, and it was about 11:45 at night. 10:45, I think, our time, 11:45, the time. We were right on the time zone line. I mean, literally within feet of it. And something happened that could destroy my credibility if it leaves this room, hardly, with a lot of folks, because...
Mark, if you don't want it to leave the room, let me know. I'll turn the tape off.
Would you turn it off then, please?
Now you're really going to have some angry listeners.
Oh. That's called a double bind, isn't it?
Well, you know, we could work it into paid subscriptions.
Yeah.
for an extra $5.
No, if you subscribe to the paper, you get the unedited.
Or if you add a new subscription.
Whatever, yeah.
Well, if I thought it would help contact, I would tell you, if you all want it in there, that's fine if it'll help contact. But y'all understand our precarious position. And if you think it's better to leave it in there, fine. If you don't want to, that's fine too. I don't care.
Well, you've got to be the judge.
Oh wow.
Well,
let's have a show of hands. Should we leave it on?
No, but it's your information, and you have to know what.
Nobody
you know,
can.
What
nobody will fall
nobody
for that.
Nobody else knows how hairy it is, but you.
Oh. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Mark, among those who you care to relate to, your story will not be taken in the wrong context. You should leave it in.
Leave it in?
Ridicule it, you don't care.
Okay, leave it in there. All right. It was about 10:45 or 11:45 at night. We were on our way to Atlanta. We were staying with a friend of ours. We were getting it there a day early. And Kathy and I were pretty well rested. We'd slept at least 6 hours in that 24 or 36-hour period. But nevertheless, we had taken a nap that afternoon. It wasn't, I'm not delusional. I've never had a problem. I've been working in mental health for many years, and I'd be the first person that they would detect if there was anything wrong with me. I don't know how to say this. We're going down the interstate, going south on the interstate on it was actually east on I-20, southeast, and in the opposite lane, the road is lined in about 50 or 60 foot tall white pine trees. The state planted them, and then they harvest them every so many years for paper pulp. These things are about, I'd say, ranging from about 50 to 70 foot tall or huge. There was a lot of traffic for that time of night, most all of it truck traffic, very few cars. And we were going along, and I noticed a little glitch in the computer. The car I drive is an old car, but it's a Cadillac, and it's got a computer that just monitors everything all the time. It's almost a nuisance. But that's the problem I'm having with the car. So I was watching the computer, and I noticed it glitched. All of a sudden, it wasn't using gas, but I was still going 75 miles an hour.
Amazing.
Well, I was kind of hoping it would keep this up. But when I noticed it, at the same time, I noticed an aircraft that was coming to my left, in other words, coming at me, kind of over this field that sits behind that row of trees. And this thing's coming relatively slow, a heck of a lot of lights on this thing. And I thought, well, you know, somebody's in trouble. And I thought, oh, that's really nice. We're going to have an airliner land on the freeway. Well, as we continued on, Kathy spoke up and said, you see that? I said, that guy's an idiot. I mean, I don't see
it. That in mind also.
I'm just relating what I said at the moment. The next few moments.
Really, you fought it. You fought it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
But the
events that unfolded in the next few minutes have really did a tremendous alteration on my perceptions of a lot of things. For one thing, physics. I'm not any Ed Young, but I have a pretty basic knowledge of physics as taught on this planet. And I began to observe, and thank goodness I told Kathy what I was observing as I was observing it. The first thing I did was immediately roll down my window. As a matter of fact, I just pulled the buttons back with four fingers, and every window in the car went down. And I'm looking for a place to pull over, and I didn't want to get run over. So I thought, well, the traffic behind me, you know, is going to see this thing too. And they didn't seem to see it. And the cars and the trucks in the other lane, I thought, well, why can't they see this thing? Well, I figured, oh, well, their back is to it. But there's nobody in my side of the traffic that seems to be responding. And I said, Kathy, you see what I'm saying? She said, what the hell is that? I said, I don't know. So I pulled over. And by this time, as I pulled over, this thing is traveling about 20 miles an hour faster than I was at 70 miles an hour. So it's traveling less than 100 miles an hour. You can't keep something that big afloat. It was about 400, I'm guessing 400 to 450 feet long, and probably 3/4 that much wide. But here's the clinch. I thought it was a B-2 bomber. A B-1 bomber.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looked like. Because it had that stealthy slope around what could have been a cockpit. I saw no windows, no lights on the top. I didn't see any blinking reds. I didn't see anything on this thing except one of the most peculiar things. This is what challenged my mind. Underneath this thing was a triangle. And it wasn't offset with just one or two or three lights. It had probably, I don't know, 100 lights underneath there. And these lights looked like they were in clusters, and it looked like there was a pattern coming through the center of this triangle. But, I mean, all this is happening so darn fast, and Kathy is right funny. She's looking for her glasses. And, I got a feeling to this day that whoever's responsible for having us see this thing found out Kathy's got a real trash mouth on her because of her language. She was looking for those glasses. Well, I'm not going to repeat what she said. And then she asked me where our camera was. Our camera's never worked since. No, it had quit. That's what's everything we got's quit. My car, the computer's in my car gone. My camera's gone. Brent and I just went to the camera shop to see, or the radio shack to see if the battery was gone. Well, I just had a brand new battery, brand new roll of film, and the whole thing, the computer in it's gone or something, and it's an expensive camera. But nevertheless, this thing had a triangle underneath it, and these lights that were under it were kind of a blue-white. And lights, if I shine a flashlight at you, EJ, it's going to illuminate you, or it's going to illuminate the side of this case or here. And this thing was about, I'm guessing, 40 to 50 foot above the top of the trees. Maybe not that high, but it looked like that. But the lights, as bright as they were, didn't illuminate nothing. They didn't illuminate the trees. It looked like some kind of, oh man, I got something. It looked gaudy. It was so many lights. Whatever it was so obvious that an idiot, a total idiot. I was insulted when I found out that I was supposed to see this thing. It'd be kind of like dropping an elephant on you and asking if you saw it. But it went over, and then it just kind of, it went in right at us. And it managed somehow to be at the right spot at the right time as I slowed down, and then it just went off. And, of course, I'm over this time, and then all of a sudden the light thing goes out. It only had the lights on as it was approaching, and as it was right beside me, it looked like it tipped up to show me its tummy. And it had this big illuminated triangle under it. Well, that's not the half of it.
Want the other half. Now turn off.
Well, first of all, I don't have anybody to talk to about this sort of thing. And the second thing is, in aviation, when any body mass goes through air, it leaves a vacuum behind it, a wash. It would have been pulling the tops out of those pine trees and slinging them all over cars and trucks and everything else. I mean, you take a 747 over the top of, and a 747 was tiny. I mean, tiny compared to this thing. But as it went over, it didn't move the trees. I mean, even a blimp would move the trees. Nothing. There was no movement. Absolutely no sound. Well, I've always heard. I heard a whining sound, or I heard a whizzing sound, or it zoomed over me. It didn't zoom. It didn't make any noise. And it had all these lights that didn't light, you know. Everything I know in physics and aircraft and aviation just went out the window instantly. So I couldn't even drive. I told Kathy, I said, well, if you saw it, then I'm not crazy. I said, if you didn't see it, of course, immediately she got to make a joke and said, see what? She talked to me. But it was an experience, and so I told David Icke about it. And David said, well, the reason those trucks and everything didn't stop is because they weren't supposed to see it. Well, that kind of makes sense, because lights, I don't think if I could have photographed it, I'd even have a picture of it. Because when you see lights, I mean, beacons, well, potentially, or whatever you want to call them, on this, I mean, there were hundreds. There were over 100 of them at least. I couldn't even look like clusters. of lights, and judging from the size of the thing, the lights probably, they look to be about that big around, each one of them. And you, 100 of those things, 50 foot off the ground, you could have played, you could have found your contacts on the ground.
We did.
Oh. All I want to say is, I'd like to know, I'm not asking you specifics about the craft itself, or if I just want to know if anybody else in this room knows what that is, or what I was looking at. I talked to a UFO, the president of the UFO Society down in San Diego. He came to our show. And I pulled him off the side, and I said, I'm going to tell you, this conversation never happened. I said, you walk away from this table with this information. I said, and some terrible things could happen to you and your family. I said, but I got to tell you this. I want to answer. Well, I told him, and he said this was the most common of all the sightings. He said, but that triangle thing, it's not quite a triangle. I said, not quite my behind. I said, it's absolutely a triangle. No ifs, ands, or buts about the design of the thing. And the triangle probably was representative of maybe half of the size of the craft. I mean, it didn't outline the craft, if you get my drift. But I don't know what you'd use those lights for. It's certainly not landing lights, because they don't go anywhere. And I don't know where you could land something this big. Let's do it over.
Anywhere we choose. Have you got a contact? A paper?
The logo.
The logo, it looked like a giant logo. It didn't dawn on me that that's what he looked like until I saw his coat. And it, thank you. It looked like that. It didn't have those lines on the, yes it did too. Right? Yeah, it did look like the logo. There's a, well, I want to tell you, I'm the hardest guy in the world to convince us all. It's hard. Nobody in this room yet has been able to convince me I volunteered to come down and do this. I am not crazy.
The 800 number flashing up
to that. I told you I'd get humiliated anyway. But I got an idea now, with all due respect, that those truck drivers didn't see this thing, that Kathy and I were the only ones that saw it, and I got a feeling that it was something we were supposed to see. For the reason that...
You're asking the wrong person. Lean this way.
But I would want to ask for what reason, and I would like to ask, was that a solid craft?
No.
Oh.
Yes and no. Solid to the extent of truly, if it fell on you, you'd been squashed.
Oh.
Basically holographic projection, but with crew. The time has arrived. I've been telling you for a long time. The time is at hand, and the crew must be made aware. You were not the only ones to see it. And other ones will come along and tell you that. God, I was driving along and I saw this humongous thing. Basically, what you are being given to see is something that is outrageous enough that you have to look beyond anything that you literally, in your reasonableness, can know that governments can produce. So we're going to start this little answer way out yonder in space. That's where you're from. A planet is a thing manifest from thought of God. You are nothing but thought of God in perfection of your DNA structure or your blueprint projected into a manifest seemingly physical form. You call it physical because you can touch it. But you will also be aware that while you're sleeping and you are dreaming, that while you are dreaming something, it becomes so realistic unless you are observing it. And, you know, the snake is chasing the chicken or whatever, and your brain says, no, this means something else. Snakes aren't going to chase that chicken and the chicken turn around and, you know, whatever. Even in the midst of dreaming, you will analyze your dream. Well, I know I'm dreaming. Now, isn't this interesting? And I also know that I'll probably forget it. This is the way you sort data. You people are not privileged to do as much sorting in the form of just imaginative dreaming as would John Doe, because you have a mission. I like you in bed by midnight. Jermaine's worse. He likes you in bed by 10 because he's a workhorse. You know, I mean, there are just some things that you have to accept without going into those tiny details, because you also will realize very frequently you'll wake up and, aha, now I remember. And so you go downstairs, or you get up and you go in the other room, and within 2-3 minutes you've forgotten, and all you can remember is that you agreed that, oh yeah, soon you will be allowed to remember. That is an agreement. When people start talking about abductions, you can draw your line right there. It is not an extraterrestrial godly being that would abduct anything.
Amen.
So that is garbage. I don't care who tells you that. That is imagination, or it is literally earthbound. That does not mean that it cannot have alien counterpart. Because if the mind can conceive it, you can create it. And you will. If you want monsters, you're going to create monsters. The mind will give you the ability to do that. And especially when you are being trained now on your video boxes, for instance, you're going to be looking for little gray spooks. Little skinny deals. I don't even know what to call them because they're so alien to anything realistic. But when you are astrally traveling, which is any time your soul essence, mind, is experiencing other than in the application of yourself in the physical form, which we can call your physical consciousness, your manifest consciousness. When your higher consciousness is traveling, be careful, because in some of your travels, your more adventurous ones will conjure up a dark-robed being, for instance. Well, just because something has on a dark robe does not mean that that is an evil being. So if you're only going to judge or discern according to whether the man has a white hat or black hat, you could just find that the man put on the hat because the sun was going to burn him, and he took whatever was available. This is what God expects of you, is further reasoning. And the stories get so interesting and so far out, and everybody loves a good story. Buck Rogers is fun. Jurassic Park was, well, it wasn't too much fun. Because there's too much realistic possibility built in that becomes a fear device. When the mind knows that capability is in existence anywhere, even in the thought of one man, is dangerous. You haven't conjured up a nice little pussycat that sits by your fireplace. You have conjured up something that's going to eat you. And basically, that's all it is. But how do you go about saying to everybody, look, you live on an illusion. You live in an illusion. You are experiencing your own illusion according to that which you need or want or desire. So one say, well, I just bumbled into being good. No, you didn't. You had to struggle in spite of everything to maintain the sanity of goodness. And you don't consider that it was a big alternative. This was an adventure. I'll go rescue Kathy and we'll have an adventure. Well, you know, 30 days into the adventure, and oh, now I'm going to fall in love with this lady. What am I going to do about that? This is an adventure. Well, if you look closely at your script, you would find that it follows pretty much along the way. There is a need. God sees a need and fills it with you, with me. And this is the joy of our experience. We get to pick some roles. You don't realize you have chosen that. And I tease a lot. I really do. You volunteered. You just don't remember. But that's exactly what happens. And at the higher council meetings, you are given voice. I'm taking hers, but at the council meetings, it'd be okay.
Was this craft piloted?
Not from the craft.
No. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
What did you mean when you said it was with crew?
What does crew perceive to you? People on board?
Yeah, people
operating
on board.
It? Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he asked, was it piloted? And what's the difference between being piloted and being operated?
Thank you.
One is a very physical thing. The other is a thought process. And it doesn't fit anything that you can call up in this room at this moment within your perceived experience. Any time that you have that kind of a projection with enough of the clues that you can later look at it, like in this room at this moment, he sees very clearly the underneath side of that craft. Just in retelling it, the mind will retain it forever, and I will tell you longer than that. When we want an indelible impression to be made, it is. And no matter how far you go, how much you journey, but you see, he tells it with humor and respect, not fear.
No, there's no fear. I'm curious. I mean, when something, I don't know anybody that's ever described anything like that.
Well, meet a few in the room.
Well, they haven't told me either. I mean, nobody in this room has ever told me that they've
Well, they're not nuts. I mean, you just told us you weren't telling us. I have wakened Dorma out of a sleep and pulled her to the window just to see it. And in a few minutes, depending on what we want seen, the jets will come. I mean, Uncle Sam just gets them out there, you know. So you are not the only one to see it, but you would be the only one to perceive it. There is a difference in seeing and perceiving. How many people go outside and look up and, oh, look at stars?
Yes, well, it's completely stars.
If you look up at all. And then ones will tell you, well, they pulse because of the atmospheric waves and thus and so.
Ice crystals.
And what is this strobing stuff around the edge or this bathing in color, the vapor color? That is an electronic tone. These are things that your governments cannot conjure. And because of the harassment, the ones with major, major roles to play in this evolvement are going to be shown things like that that you cannot deny. You can refuse to accept it and you cannot talk about it or whatever you choose to do about it. We don't care. Because once I have your attention, that's all I need. And these are the confirming things that allow you ones to have realization that this is unrealistic of anything that I recognize as physics. This is outside the capability of let us say, Edwards Air Force Base. Well, in some of these areas, you have literally, physically come up with so many things that are so spectacular that you need that confirmation of something that is a little beyond that. You can now have holographic images, and this is what Blue Beam's all about, where a religious energy form will be manifest in the sky in holographic form with a full-blown sound system, and it will appear to the largest number of people according to their belief. It becomes a merging of thought form. Now, somebody says, look, there's God. Well, everybody looking is going to see God in that form if it takes form according to what it is they perceive as God. I love it because one's always perceived that white, pale shadow who knows everything. What makes you think it's white? What makes you think it's pale? It's light. And the only description you can put to light, the nearest description, is white versus black. White being the presence of all color, black being the absence of all color. So you only have those tones in which to relate.